matching grant funds to nonprofit human services agencies within the community and authorizing the manager to enter into grant agreements with the subgrantee agencies.
Ms. Gray?
I believe Ms. Nelson, Planning Director, will be giving the staff report.
Christine Nelson, Borough Planning Director. The borough was awarded a human services community matching grant from the state in the amount of $300,054. This is a $37,000 plus increase over last year's award. We are required to provide a 30% match to supplement the grant funds, and we take that out of the matching funds. The match is to be $128,595. However, in the fiscal year budget, there was only $125,000 appropriated for this grant, so we are supplementing that with the $3,595 reallocation from the Planning Division's fiscal year operating budget to fulfill that match. The borough must now accept the grant and appropriate the funds. The process for this was that the planning staff distributed requests for applications in April to local nonprofit social service agencies, and they received 22 applications within the deadline. The Health and Social Services board members reviewed the application material, criteria, and scored the sheets and had a public meeting on July 7th of 2010. The combined requests for all the applicants were $662,663. Unfortunately, the funding available was only $428,649, with a deficit of $234,014. Therefore, the board looked at evaluating the requests based on the requirements of state statute and borough requirements from the community needs assessment. They voted to recommend funding for 17 of the 22 proposals, and they based that on the proposal providing basic human services, food, shelter, and clothing, the basic housing sorts of needs. So staff is respectfully recommends that the assembly adopt the legislation accepting and appropriating the $300,054 from the State of Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and reappropriating the $3,595 from the Planning Division's fiscal 2011 operating budget, and authorizing the manager to enter into grant agreements with the Human Services Community Matching Grant Program to the subgrantees for the provision of essential human services.
Any questions of staff? Mr. Houston?
I was wondering a couple of things about the moving the money around. So there was a shortfall in the matching money. Because it was a surprise that there's more money in the grant, and so we didn't plan on enough to match, or is that a result of cutting the budget?
It was a result of cutting the budget. We had requested $135,000 because we did anticipate some increase. We didn't know how much, but during the budget process, it got cut $10,000 back to $125,000.
Okay. And if I could follow up?
Yes.
So what's not going to happen that was being planned on moving the $3,500 from operating to?
We're basically absorbing this out of probably our contracting money. We'll survive, but in future we would hope that we have a little bit of leeway so that if the state gives us more money, we're not taking it directly out of planning funds.
Thanks.
Further questions of staff? Seeing and hearing none, thank you. We do have people signed up for this particular proposed ordinance. I'll call your name and please come forward. State your name again for the record. You have 3 minutes. Norma Frick, followed by William Frick.
Thank you. I'd like to address the mayor and the assembly about this particular thing. I understood all the business about having not enough money, but I would hope that maybe I could petition this group to consider what was proposed. We were denied. I represent the senior center in Houston, Big Lake, right on the line there, off Hawk Lane. we started that community center or that community garden about 2 years or 3 years ago when I was president of the board. It was set up as a community garden because the Boy Scouts wanted a place where they could do some of their projects, the students at Houston also, and the senior center. Because we have housing right now, we've got 18 people or 18 units, and we needed activities as well as health and nutrition kinds of things. So that was the background of it. And then as it's grown, because we have, you know, we have Sitna Rotary that meets there. We have students' projects that come over for some of their projects that meet there. And we also have New North Root, which is a garden group that comes and does their symposiums at the senior center. It's very valuable to have this community garden. Boy Scouts also have an interest in some of their projects. And what's been requested is we're at a point where volunteers are not enough. It's 3.5 acres. It requires, you know, setting up, fertilizing it, watering it, making sure that it's ready. Different people have a right to different plots, and they come over. Seniors, you know, don't pay for anything, but there's a small fee for those groups that are not seniors. And it's really been a success. The point, though, we're at a point where when we plant and when we collect it, our kitchen is more than willing to go ahead and cook it, freeze it, send it out on our home deliveries and use it for the congregant meals. But what we don't get is, we need someone to help, like a garden warden is what they're called, to at least a temporary time so we get it set up, so we coordinate the different requests for use of the plots. And also to assist seniors who sometimes can't squat, kneel, and do some of this stuff. That's my request. If you would reconsider that particular one.
Thank you.
Which was denied. Thank you very much.
Mr. Frick?
Bill Frick, what else do you want, Mr. Mayor?
Whatever you wanted to say for 3 minutes.
I ditto what my wife has said. When she organized that, we had lots of volunteers. And the volunteers set it up, watering, picking of produce, everything. The volunteers have dwindled. There's practically none now. I don't know why, but they have. The request, I believe, was denied because of the wording and so on. Take the equipment word out of it. What we really need, although this summer we didn't need it, is a well so we can water the crops. Right now we have to run a hose from the senior center all the way across the road out to the plots, and it's about equal about 4.5 city blocks. If we had the well, what we've done in the past, we've had a tanker of water come in and spray, and that was volunteer. That's kind of gone now. Thank goodness for the rain. But our seniors, it's for them, but they can't work in it. They can't bend over and plant things, and they can't bend over and pick the vegetables out. It's for them. And if you could reconsider, or ask the Planning Commission to reconsider about $18,000 so that we could hire the personnel that we need, minimum to run it, and to dig the well, get the water over there. That's all we're asking. And I think the request for the grant didn't speak very clearly to that, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Does anyone else wish to testify on this proposed ordinance? Seeing and hearing, I will close the public hearing. Mr. Arvin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 10-073 and resolution serial number 10-065 and 10-066.
Any further discussion? Mr. Harmon, and then Mr. Ewing.
I'll defer to Mr. Ewing, please.
After reading through the applicants and looking at the scoring sheet, I feel there's a way to adjust some of the funding to help out the Mid-Valley seniors in their request in at least some manner. As I look through here, I see fully funded request organizations that may have scored a little higher on the scoring sheet. And I don't know why we as an assembly can't take and spread the wealth a little bit. It looks like there's about five organizations that receive zero. I'll look at number one here, the Red Cross. They asked for $33,300. They got $30,000. The Red Cross does extremely well in funding, and I'm not against funding them, but I think there's $3,000 there that could be moved towards the Mid-Valley Senior Center. I look at the Big Brothers, Big Sisters program, another one that was fully funded, I believe. I see $5,000 there that I feel could be moved to help out. They talk about nutrition and starvation in their application. And right now, in the current economic situation, there are a lot of seniors going without. And I would like to see the wealth spread a little more than just people totally excluded from any kind of contributions at all. I can see why maybe some of these requests were denied. That request, I don't know why it was denied, why it was scored so low. I don't know what the criteria, I do see the criteria I was scoring. But again, some organizations have mechanisms outside of the borough, nationwide mechanisms to receive funding and do very well. And they're receiving real close to what they requested, where we have a senior organization that has minimum access to outside revenue that was totally denied. And I don't think it's fair.
Well, Mr. Ewing, are you making a motion?
Yes, I am. I'm
okay,
a motion.
Could you
to amend
spell out
to go through here and find some money?
Well, you got to make the motion specifically to what you're amending, and
okay,
then
my
I have
motion
to ask.
Is to item 13, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, to reduce that amount by $5,000.
To the resolution serial number 10-066, I do believe.
Yes.
And you said it would Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
It'd be item number application number 13. And application number 20, which is, my computer's moving quicker than me, excuse me.
Before we go too far, just see if what you're doing is in order. I mean, what I think you're doing is you're stepping down into a process where there was a committee of some kind that made determinations and allocations. Is this motion in order as far as you would be concerned?
I'm reappropriating funds.
What I had asked the planning director was whether or not our evaluation criteria was part of the grant application. Because if it was, then we would have to stick with the evaluation criteria. What she said to me in response was what they're asking for is capital, which is not allowed under the grant. So if you're going to move forward, maybe she can shed some light on the issue. Because that's what I was thinking. If the evaluation criteria were part of the grant application and it was approved subject to using those criteria, then those are the criteria I have to stick with, and I think the board went through them already. But I don't know the answer to that, and neither does she, but she said that's not really the issue.
That's not the issue?
If I may?
Sure.
I talked to our grant specialist, who was the planner that worked on this. She's homesick today, but The reason that this program was denied was because primarily they were asking for a tractor, which is a capital item. They also just mentioned a well, which would also be considered a capital item. They have been funded in the past for their food provision programs as operating funds, but that's what these funds are to be used for, not capital items. So that's where the problem was in the application.
My question is not so much where they got there, but is it allowed to do what I don't want to step into a process that we're not allowed to step into. If it's permitted, fine. We'll just let the motion be amended.
Without knowing what the criteria for the grant application were and what the criteria, and if the application had criteria for scoring.
That's what I'm getting at, though. We don't know that.
I don't know.
It's in front of us here, the criteria, the scoring criteria. But
it is.
And I don't see any mention in their grant application regarding a tractor or a well. What I do see is the ability for them to garden and provide vegetables, healthy veggies, in the summer and canned in the winter months to be used at the Mid-Valley Seniors.
Okay, well then, my question I think has been answered.
Unless it's somewhere hidden somewhere, I don't see it.
Okay, well then, it's apparently you can apparently reallocate, and that's go ahead with your amendment. You're moving 5,000.
What I'd like to do is make a motion to postpone to September 7th, so that we all have a chance to look at where we may be able to move some funding, and reevaluate how the scoring went about, because looking at their application, I don't see anything in there at all.
Okay, so I'm going to rule that you never finished the first motion, and we don't need to withdraw that, and you're making a motion to postpone.
Yes.
To the motion to postpone, Mr. Houston?
Yes. I would wonder if postponing this, so if I could ask Planning Director, if postponing this is going to dramatically impact some of the other grant awardees' ability to do what they're planning on doing. Is there time pressure for any of them?
I'm not aware of any. Again, because I don't know each of these agencies' programs, I'm assuming just the normal process takes a month or two to get the money to them. So I don't think moving it 2 weeks will detrimentally impact them.
If I could follow up
to the motion to postpone.
Yep. I would speak against postponing with the idea. I know I've talked with our recreation staff about working on community gardens and stuff is a big interest, if not a priority. I'm not sure. So I would wonder if there's a different avenue besides Health and Social Services grant to help this organization do what they want to do, and we could move forward with this and find another way to help them. So.
Okay. Mr. Ewing, the motion to postpone?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you another reason why I want to postpone. I'd like an accounting of last year's funding and how it was doled out, and to see what criteria was used and how much money the Mid-Valley Seniors received if they applied last year. And I'm just not in favor of. I don't see anything in their application that indicates the fact that they should go from $35,000. So I'm guessing that they got something last year to zero. So I'd like to be able to compare and contrast last year with this year. And we all make mistakes, maybe, but I don't see any mistakes in this project summary. But then again, maybe this is not the entire application that I'm looking at.
It's not.
No. But you would think that in here, seeing how we are denying, that there would be something that would indicate that why it was being denied, the tractor, the well, and maybe they'll have an opportunity to pull that. And again, I'd like to see what the funding requests were last year, how we doled the money out. When I'm looking at national and organizations that have a very large mechanism in place getting almost fully funded, and then our seniors being denied, it concerns me.
Any further, Mr. Irvin?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would speak in support of postponing this till the 7th of September, if but for no other reason to find out the legal opinion on whether we can do what is being proposed. And if we can, then we can have this debate on the 7th. If we can't, we can't.
We'll get the grant application.
Yep. So I would support postponing.
Further discussion on the motion to postpone.
Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Woods.
Yes, we have been administering this program for quite a few years since I've been on the assembly, and there is a process that everyone goes through, committee reviews, and I just don't think it's wise that the assembly should start getting in and rating grants and so forth. So I have objections to, if you want to change the process in some way, that should be done in the future. And I think all our health and social service programs are aware of how this is managed, and we should stick with it. And it keeps the assembly out of the grant the ones who do the judging and qualify and score, and I object to our being involved in this manner.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion to postpone? Mr. Arvin and Mr. Halter.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. In response to Ms. Wood's comments, I'm not interested in getting into the scoring. I want us to have a legal opinion on whether or not we can move some of these award amounts around. That's what the motion to postpone is. I don't want to drill in and start evaluating the proposals. If, you know, we heard that there was an applicant that needs $15,000 or $18,000, there's 20-something applicants here. If we can shift a little bit of money out of each one and do it and it's legal, then we should take a look at that and we should have advice on whether or not we could do that. That's why I'm supporting to postpone.
Mr. Halter?
I just want to support the postponement to, you know, Mid-Valley Seniors. I know they just expanded out there, and I'd like to see if we could find them some money to meet their minimal needs to do what they want to do to keep this program going. So I think it's going to be in serious jeopardy if we don't do something. You know, you miss out 1 year. So,
Mr. Ewing?
Yeah, and again, the main reason to postpone is to take a look back at last year's funding and how the funding was doled out. And you know, sometimes you don't dot an I or you don't cross a T, and all of a sudden, guess what? You get nothing. So I'd like to see how it played out last year to do a compare contrast and give us time to do that. I don't think anybody's it's going to hurt anybody to postpone this. If not, then the only other option would be to vote it down. So the choice is yours.
Mr. Houston?
Well, real quickly, I can see where this is going. So if we're going to postpone this, could I also ask that we have information about possible alternative funding sources through Recreation Services for this project that we could bring forward at that time?
That'd be good. Okay.
And with that, I will not oppose the postponement.
Okay. Well, just so everyone knows, according to the clerk, it takes four to postpone.
Oh, I still won't oppose.
You're on record.
He was voting. He voted.
One point of clarification. Mr. Ewing, you mentioned you wanted to see all of the applications.
Well,
that binder is like this.
Okay, I don't need that. I guess.
Right.
I wondered, it would have been helpful to see on what we've got here the reason why they were denied.
Okay.
And that
I can provide.
Those are not, that's not here. And I see, you know, an attempt to garden and raise vegetables. It's healthy to get seniors out and be involved in gardening and raising your own and canning. These are good, healthy projects in themselves, not to mention they're not going down to the store and buying the food.
It's grown in Alaska, in their backyard.
Okay, let's get back to the motion to postpone. There has been objection, so we'll vote on the motion to postpone. There's another person.
We'll vote it down then.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, yes is to postpone?
Yes. Assemblymember Woods?
Yes.
The motion passed unanimously, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, well, I guess there wasn't objection.
So I have my notes right.
Yes.
The Assembly wants to know what can be awarded in terms of what types of projects, whether the criteria here were part of the grant application from the MSB to the state, and whether or not the Assembly can change or modify the grant award amounts here.
Exactly.
And what alternative funding might be available?
And I would ask...
That would be a question for admin.
And I would ask that if it turns out you can do it, that whoever wants to make amendments put them in writing for the clerk in advance, because it sounds like it might be a complex amendment if it's taking specific funds from different amounts. And
you're looking at Fern or me?
Well, whoever wants to make a motion like that might want to talk to the clerk.
I'll do it. Lonnie knows what I want.
Okay. Is that postponed, Madam Clerk? Next one.
Ordinance 010-074, an ordinance classifying as public recreation lands, lots 27, section 29, township 26 north, range 4 west, Seward Meridian, and excluding the Christensen Lake Road right-of-way and the west half, northwest quarter, section 32, township 26 north, range 4 west, Seward Meridian, and excluding XY Lake and Christensen Lake Road and South Comstat Road rights-of-way and the northwest quarter, northeast quarter lying northwest of the South Comstat Road right-of-way, section 32, township 26 north, range 4 west, Seward Meridian, excluding Christensen Lake and adding it to the Talkeetna Lakes Park.
Ms. Gray?
On behalf of land management, I'll be giving the staff report. That was a long-winded way of saying that we would like to take some property that was recently conveyed by the state of Alaska to the borough for land that's located at the intersection of Talkeetna Spur Road and South Comstat Road, approximately 2 miles south of Talkeetna, and placing that as public recreation land. And this has gone through a public process, and it is consistent with the Talkeetna Lakes Park Management Plan. And the public process indicated that the comments were positive. It was well received by the public. The current use for that land is basically a lot of outdoor activities, including hiking, cross-country skiing, dog mushing, fishing, swimming, and canoeing. And they just want to maintain the character of that land by placing it into public land. We respectfully request that you approve this item.
Any questions of staff? Thank you. Is there any sign up?
No. I did have a question of staff.
Okay.
If I could. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this is borough property. It's public property.
Yes, it is. It is public property and has been public property by the state of Alaska.
By the state of Alaska.
Mm-hmm. They've been.
They want to give it to the borough.
Yes.
And the borough put it in perpetuity for recreation use only.
Yes.
If the borough doesn't put it into recreation use for perpetuity, does the state keep it?
No, it's already been conveyed.
Okay.
To us.
Is designating it as recreational use forever a requirement of the agreement between the state and the borough?
I don't read on here that it is forever, but we're just putting it into public land use now. And I don't believe it was a condition of conveying it to us, but I can get that information once again.
Yes, please come forward.
Nancy Cameron can help me out there.
Hi, Nancy Cameron, Land Management Agent in the Land Division Department. And I am familiar with the Talkeetna Lakes Park, and there's also a vacation coming before you. The Talkeetna Lakes Park plan was devised from lands that were conveyed by the state of Alaska to the borough via patent. On those patents, there are not any kind of caveats. It's just a straight transfer of land, sometimes under the municipal entitlement program and things like that. And this particular piece is, there are no caveats on the patent. It is just land that has been given to the borough, and the community looked at the Talkeetna Lakes Park and said, you know, we've got this land attached. can we just add it to the park? And the park itself, the plan calls for it to be held under the borough standards in perpetuity for the use of public recreation, meaning that that purpose of that land could not change without assembly ordinance.
Question, Mr.
Ewing.
So then what you said is the shaded area has already been dedicated forever, and
correct.
We make this motion tonight, then what we've done is we've added to the shaded area. I guess my question would be, what type of expenses is this going to cost the borough to you know, are we putting trails in or what? I know this area, and I guess, is there a hidden cost that we're not seeing today that we're going to be seeing down the road?
Respectfully, to the mayor and to Mr. Ewing, there are no costs at this time. There is a trails, a plan for the park that does entail canoe trails, non-motorized hiking trails, and things like that, and it's in phases. Adding this piece of property at this time would probably require the plan to be amended or added to in order to appropriate funds to place trails within that. It's a mechanism to safeguard that land is not used for another purpose. It's like reserving it for the future use and assuring the community and the public at their request that this will be used for that purpose down the road, so to speak. And there are no hidden costs at this time, no.
And one more, if I may. And the community fully supports this.
Through the mayor, yes, absolutely. They're very strongly in support of it up there.
Because I know there's a lot of development along Christensen Lake, mm-hmm. And so it's a way to preserve, and that's actually pretty close to Talkeetna, Comstock mm-hmm. Road. So, okay. It looks like it's about 1 3/4 square miles. Is that correct?
I can't speak to the exact amount of acreage. I don't have the map in front of me.
And these are—they're not really big lakes. They're smaller lakes. And
correct. These are small lakes, and the trails that will be going between them, hiking and canoe trails, will interconnect all of those.
They won't be motorboats.
No.
Mr. Houston and then Mr. Halter.
Thank you. So you mentioned non-motorized hiking trails and stuff. Is there, with the designation of the recreation lands, unless a trail or something is specified to be non-motorized, is there any particular recreation activity that's restricted or not allowed in that, or is it just kind of anything considered recreation?
Through the mayor, to Mr. Houston. The plan spells out the use of the trails, and so in answer of your question, the only thing that is specifically stated is that it is non-motorized. It does not preclude any other type of recreation activity such as hiking, biking, cross-country skiing. They do have a great volunteer system up there that has groomed some fabulous trails. They do have a trail system around one of the lakes now that they dedicated several years back, and it actually, you can get to it with a wheelchair, and it's an awesome situation up there, and they really are trying to make it as public friendly as possible.
Follow up real quick. So that's the Talkeetna Lakes plan, right? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a public recreation lands designation.
Correct. Mr. Houston, correct. Yes.
Mr. Halter?
Well, my question was, you're pretty familiar with Talkeetna area and the tourism business, and how this plan, in addition to the park, could enhance that tourism. I know there's guides up there, and would this benefit that?
I do believe it does, yes, absolutely. It is a destination point for the Talkeetna area, and I believe that it is an actual additive, yes.
And then you mentioned community support. It's part of the Talkeetna Lakes Recreation Area Management Plan that this assembly adopted. It's part of that plan.
Absolutely.
The Community Council, I believe, is strongly in support of it.
Absolutely.
The Parks Advisory Board has written letters, and then if you looked at all the emails that were sent along from the community, mm-hmm. this is one of their high priorities for additions to the park.
I would have to agree with that, Mr. Halter, yes.
Thank you.
Any further questions to staff? Thank you. No one signed up for the public hearing. Does anyone wish to testify on the proposed ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. Mr. Halter.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move ordinance serial number 10-074 and IM number 10-129.
Any discussion?
I'll speak to it. I would just ask for a favorable vote on this. It is an addition. This has been going on for a long time. It has huge community support in Talkeetna. It is part of their parks management plan. I've never seen a negative comment on it up at Talkeetna Community Councils or the parks people or anything like that. I realize that it is public land being added to parkland, but I think it will have a huge impact on local jobs and things like that. I know there's two different guides up there right now that are taking groups out in this, and they wouldn't even be able to do that or have jobs or employment. So I think this really adds something. You know, the community is a tourist-oriented area, and this will really enhance. I know the larger companies, Princess and them, that have lodges there, they love this idea because then they've got things for their people to do. It makes their businesses more attractive. But really, I think it's the local people who's worked so hard in this park and this idea. It's close to the Spur Road and things like that. It's just a wonderful project.
Further discussion? Mr. Ewing.
Yeah, I tell you what. You know, looking at in the 43 years I've been in Wausau, I wish that we'd have done something like this 40 years ago, because Talkeetna 40 years from now is going to look back at this and say, that was a smart move. As fast as Talkeetna is growing, and I know that I hated to see Wausau grow, preserving a portion of a property that's going to be in the core of Talkeetna someday because of the way it's growing, they're going to look back at this assembly and say, thanks. So it's a great idea.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Mr. Arvin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm a little bit conflicted on this.
It hurts, doesn't it?
Well, the issue for me is the park is, the Talkeetna Lakes Park is significant in size. Mm-hmm. And Talkeetna is nestled in and amongst big parks all surrounding it. And I just have a problem with the Matsu Borough designating this land as recreational use forever, because I think it does a few things that maybe, frankly, aren't fair. Surely there's going to be some property owners there on Christensen Lake that benefit by having that real estate across the lake not developable for the ever. And I've got a problem with that. I'm just fundamentally opposed of creating bigger parks and more parks. I think Alaska has enough parks, and I can't support it.
Well, there goes my theory about the haircut that you turned green on us.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any further discussion? There is objection. Go ahead and vote.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
It passes with Assemblymember Arvin opposed.
Okay. Next ordinance.
Ordinance serial number 10-075, an ordinance approving the disposal of real property legally described as Tract 3B, Point McMack Subdivision Phase 1 for the future construction and operation of the water portion of the water and wastewater facility site to service Goose Creek Correctional Center.
Great.
Mr. Spiropoulos will be giving the staff report on this with backup by Russ Kraft.
And Nancy Cameron.
And Nancy Cameron.
The mayor and the assembly will recall this is the water wastewater facility to service the Goose Creek Correctional Center. We had gone through an RFP process. We awarded the contract to Valley Utilities to design, build, operate, and finance the water wastewater portion. After we awarded it, the state came forward and basically stepped into our shoes under that contract through a novation agreement. Under that agreement, we retained some of the rights and obligations under the original agreement, and this was contemplated by the original agreement. And that is, you have the prison being built on one parcel, you have the water and wastewater facility being on an adjacent being built across the street on a different parcel. That parcel across the street has now been subdivided. And these two ordinances before you, the first one, the one that's here, will give the borough manager the authority to execute the necessary documents to include Track 3B into the prison project itself. So we'll be going back, all the way back to what we executed a couple years ago for the entire prison project, and amending the description of the property to include half of the parcel that's across the street, because it's been subdivided now. By doing that, bond funds that were already there and are already available will be freed up to construct the water portion of the waste of the water and wastewater facility. It results in a cost savings to the state. It, again, we're out of the contract administration or we're out of the contract administration altogether now at this point on the water wastewater facilities. What it does is it lowers the state's rent payments over time and their payments to Valley Utility to help the project move forward. So that's this first piece before you now, is to include track 3B into the prison project so that bond funds can be used to build the water side of the water wastewater facility.
Any questions of staff? Thank you. You have a question?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
It's maybe relevant to this or not, and it's regarding the death at the prison. I'm wondering if there's any liability to the borough in that incident because of improper shoring being used by the contractor when a gentleman got killed. And I'm wondering if we've been contacted yet. Do we have any liability in granting this track on any construction that may happen there? Do we have any liability to make sure that it's all done in safe practices?
We are the landowner of this property, and we are the landowner of the property upon which the prison is being built. At the end of the lease purchase agreement, the state is leasing the prison from us until the bonds are paid off, and at the end, they will own it and the land underneath. So until that time, they are technically a tenant, and we are technically the landlord. The debt that you referenced was not on either one of these parcels, but we do remain a landowner on the Goose Creek prison, and we already are.
Let me rephrase the question. If a death did happen in the construction of the prison or the wastewater facility, would the borough be liable in any way?
Most likely not. Again, you're asking a lawyer kind of a loaded question. Is there liability there anywhere? Most likely not. Is there a chance that there could be some kind of failure to inspect claim or something like that? Anybody can sue you for anything. The question is, are they going to win? So most likely not.
Thank you, Mayor.
Any further discussion from staff? Okay. Does anyone sign up for this? No. Brings us to the public hearing. Does anyone from the audience wish to testify on this proposed ordinance? Seeing and hearing no one, will close the public hearing and look to Mr. Arburn.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 10-075.
Further discussion? Is there objection? Passes unanimously. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance serial number 10-076, an ordinance approving the disposal of real property legally described as Tract 3A, Point Max Subdivision, Phase 1, for the future construction and operation of the wastewater portion of the water and wastewater facility site to service Goose Creek Correctional Center.
Ms. Gray?
Nick Sparopoulos will be giving the staff report as well.
So this is the other half of the parcel. Again, the original agreement contemplated that we would move forward with subdivision. It has been subdivided, now subject to assembly approval. The other half of the parcel will be sold to Valley Utilities. They will own it in fee, and they will construct the wastewater portion of the water wastewater facility on that, and we will not own it anymore. They will own it. At the time, because of the cutoffs and the advertising and everything, at the time the packet was put together, we did not have the fair market value. Since then, Nancy Cameron informs me we do have it. It's just over $119,000 and some change. It was done by an independent third-party appraiser, and that's the market value.
Questions of staff? Mr. Ewing.
Clarify how many acres that parcel is.
Nancy Cameron, Land Management Agent for the Borough Land and Resource Management Division. Through the mayor, that acreage, I believe, was 21 acres.
Hang on a second. I can tell you exactly. I just got to find it and look it up. If you'll give me just a second. Excuse me. It was 11.92 acres.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Further questions of staff? Thank you, Ms. Cameron. No one signed up for the public hearing. Does anyone from the audience wish to testify on this proposed ordinance? Seeing and hearing no one, will close the public hearing. Mr. Orban.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 10-076.
Discussion? Any objection? Seeing and hearing none, passes unanimously. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance serial number 10-077, an ordinance accepting and appropriating $2,620 from the Alaska State Library Interlibrary Cooperation Grant Program to Fund 440 Project Number 20375 and approve a scope of work and budget to promote the literacy campaign called Juvenile Book Club in a Bag, with accompanying resolution serial number 10-067, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget to promote a literacy campaign called Juvenile Book Club in a Bag.
Ms. Gray.
On behalf of Community Development, I'll be giving the staff report. This one's really simple. We're just going to be utilizing these funds to pay for bags and books for a juvenile reading program. In addition to being used for the juveniles, these will also be available for public checkout.
Any questions of staff?
Examples.
Examples of the books?
Yeah, like, so what
Dr. Seuss
is going to be in the bag? What's
typically, it is a setup where there are various books that have been approved, usually by teachers, readers' clubs, for this program. And that's about all I know about it.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions of staff? No further questions. Anyone sign up? No one signed up. Does anyone wish to testify on this proposed ordinance? Seeing and hearing, I will close the public hearing. Looking to Mr. Arvin.
Yes.
No more.
Let you know more.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 10-077 and resolution serial number 10-067.
Any discussion? Is there any objection? Passes unanimously. Brings us to audience participation. Does anyone wish to testify on to the audience participation portion of the meeting tonight? Seeing this is also unprecedented. Did we not advertise this meeting? Close the public hearing at actually, it's incredible. 8-6. Mr. Houston, comments? We have the consent agenda. I knew it was too good to believe. Okay, now I know this is going to... Anyone want to pull anything from the consent agenda?
I think I want to pull B.
Item resolution B or memorandum B?
Just to find out a little bit more.
Okay. Any others?
Pull A.
Resolution or memorandum?
Resolution, I believe, on the liquor license.
Okay. Any others?
Yeah,
on the map.
Okay, go ahead and read the remainder of the consent agenda.
Assembly Memorandum 10-076, vacation of section line easements within Talkeetna Lakes Park Common, Section 5, Township 25 North, Range 4 West, and Section 32, Township 26 North, Range 4 West, and from the half quarter corner common to Sections 31 and 32, Township 26 North, Range 4 West, South, to the section corner of Section 31 and 32, Township 26 North, Range 4 West, and the Sections 5 and 6, Township 25 North, Range 4 West, all located within the Seward Meridian. AM number 10-077, vacation of public interest and two right-of-way easements to be vacated are located along South Echo Lake Drive and recorded in Book 286, page 4, and Book 325, page 642, located in Section 33, Township 17 North, Range 3 West, Seward Meridian. AM number 10-079, authorization to purchase sodium chloride from Bering Marine Corporation for the amount of up to $158,595 for winter road maintenance. AM number 10-080, acceptance of late filed and retroactive senior citizen and disabled veteran exemption applications. AM number 10-082, approval of change order to earth moving specialists in the amount of $20,000 for the expansion of the Jim Cottrell Upper Mesa Drive project number 30036.
Mr. Arvin?
I move the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Any objection? Seeing and hearing no objection, it passes unanimously. Mr. Houston, did you pull item A?
Did I have to read the whole thing, or can I just read it?
She can read it, and then you can move it.
Okay.
Resolution 0-10-068, a resolution approving the application to relocate the no-premise Applebee's beverage dispensary license to Applebee's on Tract A, Creekside Town Square Subdivision, 1891 East Parks Highway within the city of Wasilla.
Mr. Houston?
I would like to move resolution serial number 10-068 to the IM.
Okay.
If I could speak to it, I just actually would like a little clarification of the process or shine a light on the process. We put quite a bit of effort into what to do with moving the liquor licenses into the cities from the unincorporated area. And I wanted to, I think this is the second one that we've dealt with, and my recollection is the other one was for Wasilla also, and we spent a lot of time on how many there were available and how many would go to each city and how that would all happen, and I would like to see how we followed our process that we created.
So. Okay. The attorney will be able to speak to some of this. That's whose name I have down here, Nick. I have Christine and Nick. And then Dave looks like he wants to say something as well. But
well, judging by that reaction, it looks like Nick is looking for Dave and Christine is stepping forward. So it's
the question was the process followed? I can tell you what the law, I can tell you what our code says, and was the process followed? It was processed through planning, so I'll defer to the planning director.
Christine Nelson, Borough Planning Director. Yes, the process was followed. We received an application on June 3rd to relocate the no-premise Applebee's beverage dispensary license from the unincorporated area to relocate it into the city of Wasilla. The application wasn't complete until July 15th when the delinquent taxes were paid. We did, however, do public notice for the radius for that area. We actually started it before the application was complete. And on May 7th, the City of Wasilla approved the relocation to 1891 East Parks Highway, which is just in front of the Sportsman's Warehouse. So we did the public notice. We had the Director of Economic Development do a economic impact assessment and found that there were no significant economic effects of relocating to that specific location. So we are recommending adoption of the resolution.
Mr. Houston.
How did we address the number of, because I thought we could do three in a 10-year period and we'd already done, and we were going to spread them amongst the three cities.
Mr. Hansen, go ahead.
That piece.
So. So, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members, what happened is it's sort of the luck of the Irish for Wasilla. We're in the second decade. The first decade was just 3 years, and Wasilla was the only one who applied for a transfer of a borough license to go inside a municipality. And then now we're with 2010. We're in a new decade. So for this 10-year period, this is Wasilla's chance.
Okay.
And so we're following the process, and we're keeping the appropriation that the Assembly did work very hard on, making sure that Palmer would have a chance for one and Houston would have a chance for one. They still have those.
And Mr. Spiropoulos, after all.
And so the Assembly's aware, we got that from state law. State law specifically says, in this subsection, decade means each 10-year period beginning April 1st and a year ending in zero. Okay. So because this first initially passed in 2007, that first, quote, decade really went till April 1st of 2010, at which point then it could happen again.
Mr. Alter.
So how many could Wasilla acquire in a 10-year period?
Just one.
Just one. That's pretty restrictive.
Mr. Ewing and then Mr. Houston.
No, I was just going to reiterate the fact that it was just one.
And, you know, Palmer can have another one now, and Houston can have another one now, and maybe that'll fill up some of the downtown office space. It's empty here.
The borough buildings, by the way.
Is that by state law, the one per decade?
This.
I mean, okay, we're out of getting out of order here. It's Mr. Houston, then we'll get to you.
I just wanted to clarify, did we wind up with a provision that towards the last third of the decade, if there were unused transfers, that us, like, for instance, Wasilla might have another shot at one that...
Yes.
I know we talked about that. I don't remember what our final decision was.
I'll ask the attorney for, see if my memory is correct, but my memory was that they were going to go, it was not put in it, but it was discussed that we would see how it worked, and that the assembly could add that toward the end of a real decade if it became appropriate.
Okay, Mr. Halter.
Well, I think that kind of that helps now a little bit to give a little bit of flexibility. It seems like that's pretty restrictive, 1 in 10 years to me, but I guess it's just...
Mr. Ewing.
It's my understanding that if the city of Houston or the city of Palmer chooses not to opt and take advantage of their 1 in 10 years, that privilege could be granted to another city, as I understand it.
I believe it would take assembly action.
And that's not really the issue tonight. Okay. Any further questions of staff? Thank you, guys, all three of you. Brings us to any further discussion? Any objection? Passes unanimously. Who pulled item B? Mr. Halter.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
Resolution serial number 10-069, a resolution approving the amended scope of work for project number 25038, landfill expansion, in order to facilitate cell 3 construction.
Mr. Coffey didn't get to talk. Good night.
I just wanted to say this is the first assembly meeting I've been to since I chose not to run for re-election for the Anchorage Assembly, and it's every bit as pleasant as we did it in Anchorage.
He's running again.
Did you move it?
Oh, you want me? Excuse me, Mayor. I'll move resolution serial number 10-069 and the accompanying IM number 10-139.
Did you have a question?
Well, I guess the question, I just want to know what effect, I guess we're expanding cell 3, what effect that's going to have on the Crevice Moraine Trail system and trailhead and all that stuff.
Senator Halter, I believe that's all been addressed many, many times over and over again. I don't. The trailhead is going to have to be relocated, but I think that it's all part of the plan for the South Street expansion. And I'm really not the person that should be speaking to this. Mr. Goodale should be speaking to this. I don't believe the trailhead's going to be moved, but I believe there's going to be additional parking provided for it. There's some plan for the Moraine trailhead.
It means the race times on the Crevice Moraine 5K get a lot faster.
That's fair. So, but if cell 3 is expanded, is that trailhead going to be gone?
The Crevice Moraine trail system will not be gone.
But the trailhead.
I'm not sure exactly the answer to that question.
Grants Road property that was donated to us.
As far as I know, the cell 3 is all within the landfill property, and what effect cell 3 has on the Crevasse Marine Trails is part of that plan.
Mr. Ewing.
Yeah, Vern and I both sat on the Planning Commission when this first came up, I believe.
Well, I think the France Road property was what we
were. Yeah, it started with the France Road property and then blended into discussion on Cell 3. And I do believe that a relocation of the trailhead was discussed in order to make Cell 3 happen, at least part of the trail crevice. Moraine Trail was going to have to be relocated, in order to accommodate cell 3. What I don't see here tonight, I'd like to see, and I'm going to move to postpone, and that is a map. And I think that would clear up
not a problem.
And again, any kind of information regarding the relocation of any parts of the trail due to the expansion of the cell. So my motion will be to postpone to the 7th to give time to get the map. And
absolutely. There should be no problem providing all that information to you somebody by the 7th.
I appreciate the fact that you're honest and you say that, hey, the other guy should be here because he knows more about it, but thanks for being here. And
not a problem. I apologize. I don't have the answer for the assembly. I don't like to not have the answers for the assembly.
Thank you, sir.
Did someone else? Okay. So we have a motion to postpone. Is there any discussion of the motion to postpone?
To the 7th.
Is there objection to motion to postpone to the 7th?
To speak to the motion to postpone?
Yes.
I'm fairly certain that we had a very clear staff report that the trailhead was not going to be affected at a prior meeting. But we want to postpone. I'm okay with that.
So is there any objection to postponing? No objection, it's postponed. That does conclude the regular part. Now we'll go to assembly comments. Mr. Houston.
I now have an additional comment. When this comes back, we have clarification whether any funds from the project to construct cell 3 are available to do the work to relocate the trailhead if that's needed as a result of the construction. Would be one request. And then I would just like to go on record and say that I like Mr. Arvin's new hairstyle. So.
Canopy reconstruction. Mr. Halter?
Thank you. Well, I really enjoyed the two statements, Mr. Menefee and Mr. Post. I really learned a lot from the state's presentation, made me think about. I guess I'd like to hear more from the private industry about what they think about the state's request for exclusions and some of their, and how that affect private industry's gravel rights. So I thought that was a very good work session. This moved along quite well. I'm glad the vote was strong on the Talkeetna Parks, and I concur with Mr. Houston on Mr. Arvin's hair.
Mr. Ewing. Mr. Mayor. Pete, I want to, you know, when I first pulled this up and read the agenda, I just want to congratulate you for ordinance serial number 10-043. It's a long time in the coming. Allowing fireworks during the middle of the winter, I doubt that Mr. Brodigan is going to have any problem with fighting a bunch of fires that night. And I think it's been a long time coming, and I think it's very appropriate and it's considerate, and I want to thank you for putting that on there. We had some great discussion tonight, good questioning, and some great answers on extraction, gravel extraction. And again, we need to keep in mind, you know, the legalities of dictating to the state of Alaska what they can and can't do in the borough. We do get funding from them, and it is their property, and I think our eyes were opened up tonight as to where that line in the sand is, and so hopefully we'll get that defined and get that all hammered out and get that puppy put to bed in September. And Mr. Arvin has taken a lot of kidding tonight over his haircut, and it's not his haircut, it's just he didn't comb his hair. And now I got to looking at him, and I think if he took his glasses off and did this, he would be Mr. Spock.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Thank you.
Ms. Woods, would you like to comment on Mr. Arvin's haircut?
No, hopefully it'll be the same the next time I see him, so I can get a look for myself. It sounds quite interesting. I wanted to say that I was our joint Anchorage and Mat-Su assembly meeting, and what we discussed regarding the ports, the shoals, ferries, and concern over conflict, and it was a good discussion. They didn't really go into a lot of details, but Governor Sheffield did quite adamantly state that he felt like the Anchorage port was the most important port in Alaska, and it should receive priority in funding. And while no one can deny that the Anchorage port is important to all of Alaska, I certainly didn't agree that all funding should go to just their port. Yeah, he did acknowledge all the transportation infrastructure needs throughout Alaska, but again was real quick to point out that if Anchorage port wasn't there, the rest of Alaska would be in dire straits. So I just told him that our assembly was interested in finding solutions to these issues, and that we are willing to work with them to ensure that our needs for a port, for our economic development and the well-being, economic well-being of our borough, were equally as important to us, and that we sure wanted to work side by side to resolve any conflict. And I tried to ever so gently say that support for the Anchorage port shouldn't be done in a way that is, what was the word? I forget what I used, but anyways, I didn't want Governor Sheffield to be sabotaging our projects and working against us behind the scenes. I didn't say that directly, but the assembly members there who were there knew what we were talking about. So it was interesting to listen to their projects and the costs that are involved there, and they're huge, beyond huge. They give everyone good just pause. So I'm glad to participate. They changed the date and time, and so I couldn't be there in person, but they did allow me to phone in. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Arvin, speak in defense of your haircut.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had a comment, if I could, to Ms. Clayton on the IM 10-118 on the bottom of the fiscal note. There's a star that says, if adopted, the remaining funds in the fiscal year 2010 grant match would be $6,000, so on and so forth. But I didn't see that in the subsequent IMs, and I would make a request for the future that as those balances are reducing, as ordinances are passing, that maybe you could keep that tally running for us on each fiscal note. That would be helpful for me. Thank you very much. And then I had a request of the assembly such that we might consider writing a certificate of appreciation to Mr. Stevens, to Senator Stevens, and sending it to his family and having it framed and with the borough seal. He not only did what he did for the state, but did a lot for the borough. And if so inclined, I don't know what the policy is for doing that, but I would like to make that recommendation and see if that's something we couldn't do.
Create a resolution for the assembly to work with Mr. Arvin to draft one up.
Are we just looking for a certificate of appreciation, or are you looking for a resolution? Because that would be
different. I would like to see the embossed seal and the nice frame and the certificate and maybe the resolution inside or something of that nature.
the resolution would have to come back
to the
body. A certificate of appreciation, administration probably just type something up, but a resolution would have to come back to the body.
Okay, would appreciate that. And then finally, Hair Club for Men told me nobody would notice. So there you have her.
I have a point of inquiry.
Point of inquiry, sure. I guess I'm worried about where.
Would the mayor allow me? I missed making two very short comments. Would you allow me that opportunity?
It's hard to believe they could be short, but yeah, go ahead.
First off, I wanted to compliment Ms. Gray. I have had a couple of phone calls about what a pleasure it's been to work with her lately. From members of the community and the business community. And again, I just want to compliment her. And my second one, I forgot what it was, so call me Pete.
It was a short one, yeah. That's a thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I think, Mr. Arvin, the most intriguing concept was when you leave to make a marble bust of you like Caesar with the hairstyle you've got there. But it's a good meeting. We're adjourned.